Discipline is not a fun word, is it? Whichever side of that you're thinking about. Listen, parenting is hard. If you don't think so, you don't have kids. But kidding is hard too. Being a kid, it's hard. Growing up is hard. Until you get to that age where you know everything. That's about 13, isn't it? It's hard for kids and it's hard for parents. And it can be a war. But it shouldn't be. It's just like marriage counseling, but you know, it's a little different. But parent and child counseling, I want first to get children's eyes and parents' eyes on Jesus. Amen. And loving and living for Him. And then raising the kids to love Jesus and live for Him according to the Word. And the kids wanting to love Jesus and live for Him because that's who He is for them and that's the example He set. So we want to talk about, we're going to fix parenting in one sermon. No. But we want to talk about what Paul said in the book of Ephesians to the children. Evidently, the children are supposed to be in church listening because it was read publicly in the church gathering. Anyway. We get word to the children and to the parents in this sermon this morning. And I just want to encourage the kids to obey their parents, whether or not you like it or whether or not you understand. Because believe it or not, they're smarter than you. If not an intellectual, I mean, we have some really smart kids, don't we? But life experience and wisdom, they have way more than you. And as they're leading you in the Lord, I want to encourage you to obey them just like we obey God before we have it all figured out. Well, most of the time we try to do that, right? But obedience is for your good. It is for your blessing. It is for your protection. I read a story of a young lady who had gotten to the age where she knew everything and you know, it's young teens, wanted to go to a party. And her parents didn't want her to go to the party and told her she couldn't go to the party. She snuck out of her window, went to the party, ended up leaving the party with a young man who had been drinking. Long story short, in a car crash, he died instantly. She's in the hospital knowing she's dying and said, "Tell my parents I'm sorry and that I love them." And she passed away. Had she been obedient and stayed in her bed, she would not have died. Now, that's not our primary motivation for obedience, but it's a story that mega highlights the fact that obedience is for children's protection and then parents calling the children to obey according to the Word. So that's what we're going to look at today. This subject is really submission, as we've seen in this section. We started in chapter 5, verse 21, flowing on, submitting to Jesus, submitting to one another. In other words, lining up under Jesus. So we've seen the family put together under Jesus, dads with headship, wives submission to Jesus and under the husband, and now children submitting or lining up under Jesus by submitting to their parents. That's why I call it children's submission. That we're really kids, we're seeking to honor and glorify Jesus as we line up under our parents' protection and authority and submit to them and seek to obey them. Because see, Jesus is Lord and King. And He's given us all roles. And children, your role at this point in your life is to obey your parents. And your parents' role is to set a good example and to teach you well on what Jesus would have you to do as children. So the main point today is parents are to train their children to joyfully submit to Jesus in everything and to honor and obey their parents. But first, look at this. The very first thing out of the text is children obeying their parents. Look, back in 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That is a command. And you know what, kids? That's a present tense command. What does that mean? It means that all the time you're to obey your parents. Continually you're to obey your parents. You're to do what they say. Whether you believe it or not, trust it or not. You're always to, kids, obey your parents. Do that word obedience means to do what another says, to carry out their commands. And it should be, hopefully you're trusting in Jesus, so it should be gospel obedience. You're seeking to honor Jesus by submitting to the parents that He's given you, obeying them to promote peace in the house. And again, that's a continual obedience. Well, a lot of times when you have a kid and you tell them to do something, what is the question that they always ask?
Why?
I didn't have to say that. How do I know that? And how many times will they ask that question? Until you have to stop the infinite regression, right? Which is good because they want to know. And we don't want to beat that down. We don't want to let it rule us. But we don't want to beat that down. We need to be informing them of why. And God sets the example. Notice this. He doesn't just say, obey your parents because I say so. That's fundamental and foundational. But He gives kids reasons. And He gives them encouragement and direction and instruction. Look in this text. I want to give you four reasons to obey your parents. And none of them are because they're the smartest people in the world and they do everything right. Look what God gives you as motivation to obey your parents. Look at this. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You're obeying in the Lord. Hopefully they're leading you in a godly direction, teaching you, and we'll talk more about that later, what God's Word requires of you as children. Not asking you to sin, but asking you to do right and obey. But look at what God gives you. God loves kids and He's instructing our kids and He's giving you reasons to obey. So in your heart you probably said, why? And God says, okay, I'll give you four reasons. Three in this text. I want to give you another one outside of this text. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Same word, or for it is righteous. It is in accord with God's commands. Hopefully they are leading you in obedience to God according to His commands. It is a righteous thing for you to obey your parents because God requires it. Now it is a command, and this is pointing out the fact that this is a command, kids. You should obey your parents because God commands you to do so. The first motivation is really, if you want to boil this down, is to live for God's glory. Kids, you should obey your parents because it glorifies God. So see how we look at God first, and then we come down? When we look at God, and God has asked you, in fact, He's commanded you. So your first primary reason or answer to the question why is God commands it. Obeying your parents made the top 10. It did. It made the big 10, the 10 commandments. That's the next reason. Because it honors your parents, okay? It glorifies God and it honors your parents. But in that connection is the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother. Look at how Paul develops this. And remember, this is God's Word. So this, kids, is God teaching you why you should obey your parents. Because it's right or righteous. It glorifies God. You should be reverencing and honoring and being in awe of God all of your life. And part of that is learning to do that. And your parents are helping you learn to do that. To learn to live for His glory. But look, He doesn't just tell you to do it. He explains a little bit to you. Honor your father and mother. That's quoting. That's the second reason. It honors your parents. It glorifies God. It honors your parents. And then He expounds on this promise a little bit. This is the first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you. Because You are the children of these parents. And whether you're adopted into a family or born into a family. Man, if they have gone to the extra step to adopt you, that is a privileged position that pictures God adopting us and bringing us into His family. You're not a second tier or second class kid if you're adopted. You're a great gospel picture if you're adopted. But then those are your parents. Right? So we're to honor them. They have brought you into this world through great expense and great pain. God intentionally knit you together in the womb to be in the family that you're in. Through your parents who have made great sacrifice for you. They gave you life. They provide for you. They love you. They want to lead you in the right direction. And the way that you honor them as your parents is to obey them joyfully. Not just, I mean, Cindy was keeping one of the children in I think it was in Columbia, right? In Columbia, he was keeping them while their parents were somewhere. I don't know. But she had asked one of them to, as a little boy, she asked him to do something. I don't remember what he was supposed to do. And he said, "Yes, ma'am, but I am very angry." That's not the joyful obedience I'm talking about. Because we look to Jesus first, our Savior, our Lord, and we want to live for His glory and glorify Him. And so we want to honor our parents. And so when they, hopefully they're not putting an unrealistic list or request on you, but when they ask you to do things, "Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir." With joy, first time. Nothing brings a parent's heart more delight than joyful first time obedience. Clean your room. "Yes, ma'am." Then you have to follow through. It's not enough to say okay. You actually have to go clean your room, which you should do without being asked. But it honors your parents because they are the ones God has given you and they love you and they're making great sacrifice for you. So you should be striving to honor them and not go against them and create grief in their hearts. The Bible defines love of God as obedience, joyful obedience to His commands. And love, if you love your parents, you're going to be joyfully obedient to your parents. You want to honor them and bring them great joy and be a blessing to them. Because they're striving to provide for you. That house you live in didn't just pop into existence. That food you eat every day, those clothes you wear, the sneakers you wear, they may not always be the hip sneakers that you want, but they're far better than you deserve. Rejoice in your parents. Seek to honor them and obey them. But look at the third reason. This is the life that God blesses. He blesses kids who honor their parents. You know what? In the Old Testament, and this is Old Testament, this is Old Covenant, but a child who has grown up, this is not a wee child now, but who has grown up and is a rebellious child and who speaks evil of their parents or strike their parents, you know what happened? Somebody said rock party, that's right. They didn't live in the land very long because they were rebellious and that pictured God's justice. Now, in the New Covenant, we don't do that to our children, but we do discipline them, right? And inheriting the land is now inheriting the earth, new heavens, new earth. But it's the life God... You want to be blessed by God? Obey your parents. Trust your parents. Do what your parents say. Do it with joy. Do it the first time they ask you. And when they ask you to clean your room, do this in your mind. "Oh, that's something they want me to regularly do." Husbands, we can learn from that too. And listen, last reason. So you got the reasons, right? God commands it. It honors Him and it honors your parents. It's the life that God blesses, the one He calls you to. And this is how Jesus lived. Think about that. God-man, born, humble family, born in a manger, living under Joseph and Mary, even though He was Lord at His birth, submissive to His parents. Look in Luke chapter 2, 51 and 52. And this is after, you know, they have sort of left Jerusalem and Jesus stayed behind and He's in the temple answering questions of the authorities and amazing them. And He's in His Father's house and about His Father's business and they have to hunt Him down. And they said, you know, we were looking everywhere for You. And He's like, well, why were You looking everywhere for Me? Didn't You know I would be in My Father's house? Anyway, but even though He was all of that, He submitted to His parents, went home, grew and grew in stature. Look in Luke 2, 51 and 52. And Jesus went down with them and He came to Nazareth and was submissive to them, His parents. And His mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor. There's that, in favor, that blessing, with God and man. So children, obey your parents. Because God commands it. Obey your parents because you love them and want to honor them. You've been given good parents. It's the life God blesses and it's how Jesus lived and calls you to live. Obey your parents because you love Jesus, because you love your parents. You want to break your mother's heart? You want to break your dad's heart? Be continually disobeying them and rebellious. It breaks their heart. You don't want to do that. You want to dishonor God? Live that way. Trust Jesus to forgive you, though, of your sins. Trust Him to save you and then seek to live for Him in the power of His Spirit. But what we're calling you to this morning, children in the church, is to obey your parents. So children, submit to and obey your parents for all of these reasons. That's what God calls you to. And I know that our children's attention span is gone by now. So I will stop on you. I'll start picking on your parents now. How's that? Is that good? Because He doesn't stop there. And fathers represent the family or the head. They have, you know, they're under God responsible for how things go with the family. They don't do everything themselves. They're not alone in raising their kids. But look how God speaks directly to the fathers. After talking to the kids and calling them to obey and giving them a lot of reasons why that they should obey their parents, now He turns the attention to the fathers in verse 4. And then parents, right? Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What does it mean to provoke? What do you do to somebody when you provoke them? You make them mad. Right? To provoke is to make somebody mad. It's to embitter them. It's to exasperate. Now kids don't go home and say, I am exasperated with you. They'll do that. They know how to play your tunes, right? Do not, fathers, therefore, parents, but fathers' headship over the home. Fathers, if you're not embracing that you are under Christ, you're the head of the home, please embrace that today and lead your family in a godly direction. Doesn't mean you're the smartest person in the house, but you can teach and train your children and point them to the Word and grow in grace. But see, God commands you not to provoke your children. And this is, again, continually. Present tense. Do not continually exasperate them. It doesn't mean that you never make them angry. Oh my, you have to make them angry sometimes. If your goal is to never make your kids angry, they will rule your house. They already try to rule your house. Need to take the crowns off of them. It doesn't mean you never make them angry, but you don't constantly embitter them, constantly make them angry. And I know, not your question is not why, but how. How do we exasperate our children so that I won't do that? Listen to me, parents, and listen to me, fathers. How might we exasperate our children? Number one, your children need clear boundaries. They need to know what's expected of them. God treated them that way. Very clear. Simple enough to remember. 10 Commandments. Everything else expounds off of that, right? Kids need clear boundaries. They need to know when they're doing good and not doing good. You need to be sure that they understand what the boundaries are. They need to know what the rules are. They need to be, and they need rules. That promotes security in their little hearts. They need boundaries. Teenagers, I know you're starting to say, not really. Okay? But you still need some boundaries. Paying that electric bill and buying that food and paying the house payments yet? Kids need clear boundaries. Without them, they're insecure. They don't know what to expect. The house doesn't make sense if you don't have clear boundaries. So first, you exasperate your kids when you do not provide clear boundaries for them before they're in trouble. Helping them understand what the rules are, how they should behave in the house, what their chores are. Kids, chores. Don't just give them money. That's terrible. No, they don't have to, at 3 years of age, mow the yard, but give them some chores to do. Help them contribute to the household. But set clear boundaries. Number two, you know what else exasperates kids is inconsistency. You do one thing one day and another thing the next. You know, one day they get the slide with something, and then the next day you are down on them. Again, that relates to the boundaries. That would exasperate you in your workplace if your boss didn't set clear boundaries and were inconsistent in the application of the rules, treated some with favoritism and others not. Don't have favorite kids. And don't try to be favorite kids. Your parents love you all the same in a perfect world. And some days are different than others. Clear boundaries. Be consistent in your application of discipline in the household. And listen, another thing that will exasperate your kids is you being angry and harsh. Being rough. Being a man is not being rough with your kids. In fact, that's not being a man. Being angry, being harsh, being a dictator in the house, that will exasperate your wife and your children. They need gentle authority. Authority, yes. Consistent authority, yes. Well-defined authority, yes. They need authority, but authority like Jesus. Servant leadership, servant authority. So don't be angry and harsh. You will exasperate your whole house. And related to that, overly strict. Some of us were raised in a nitpicking environment where everything was picked at, all of the flaws, and none of the positive things were rewarded. You just walk around twitching because you never know. Grace, mercy, well-defined home, consistent home, a gentle home, not a harsh home. According to God's commands, not overly strict. And related to that, if dads, fathers, I'm coming right at you with this one. Tenderness, gentleness, love to your kids. Lack of love and tenderness and grace will exasperate your kids. Be tender with your kids. Take them in your arms. Kiss them. They won't always like it. Tell them you love them. You are proud of them. Reward them for doing good. Dads, be gentle and tender. You can have authority and be gentle and a servant. Look at Jesus. I mean, my house that I grew up in, love my dad, I think he's in heaven now, but it was a rough top-down house. You do what I say. Don't ask any questions. Why? Because I said so. Another word. I'm serious. Why I'm so mean? No. Love, tenderness, grace. How tender is God with us? How gracious and merciful and patient. Set that tone in your house. Another thing that will exasperate your kids is setting a poor example. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. But if there's a football game on, or go to church on Sunday and live like the devil the rest of the week, they're going to do what you do. I don't want to scare you, but you're, especially dads, your kids are going to be like you. So set a good, consistent example of following Jesus. Like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Kids, I told you I was going to pick on the parents a little bit, right? So set a good example. Be a leader worth following. Be a servant leader like Jesus. And then finally, not teaching them. Again, which is related. I told you my dad was just like, do what I say, not what I do. Do it because I said so. Why questions were not allowed. Be a teacher. Give them good reasons to obey. So set clear boundaries in the home. Be consistent with the application of those. Don't be angry and harsh or overly strict. Be loving and tender with your kids and a leader worth following who teaches and trains his kids. And that's coming up next. And then see, it's not just the dad doing this. Husband and wife are working together as a team, even though the dad in the authority, in the lining up under Jesus as the head of the home. It's team. Dads, don't put all of the raising of the children on your wife. Please. I know you're busy. Engage. Look at what the Word says. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. In other words, in these ways. Don't provoke them by being the ways that we've just talked about, but raise them up first to love, trust, and obey Jesus, and then under that to love, trust, and obey you. But look at how he goes on with the Word. But, so in contrast to provoking your children to anger, two words, bring them up, raise them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And I've flipped the order here. I want to do instruction first. It's okay when you're preaching to do that sometimes, to flip the order, okay? I want to deal with instruction first. You are to nourish them. When it says bring them up, that word means nourish them. What is it? Food nourishes us and feeds us so that we grow and thrive. You're to nourish your children in the instruction of the Lord. What is that? It was Jesus' food. Speak His words and do His works. Be sure that your kids are well nourished in the instruction of the Word. This is not a slide, but Deuteronomy 4. I just want to read this to you so you see foundationally in the Old Testament what was said. I'm sorry, it's 6. Deuteronomy 6. Speaking to God's people, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And that makes us thankful for the gospel, right? As we fail. "And these words I command you today shall be on your heart." So Dad, the Word on your heart. Are you working at putting the Word on your heart? "And then you shall diligently teach them to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." What does that mean? All the time. It's not just this one segment of the day when you check it off. Now, family worship can be a very helpful practice in a family. I encourage you to do that if you can, just to have a short time with your kids when you read a piece of Scripture and pray and maybe sing a song. Teach them. But throughout the day as you're working, cutting the grass and doing the chores and they're with you, or whatever you're doing, whenever you're with your kids and wives, when you're with your children, be talking about and instructing them in the Word. In the Word of God. You are to provide instruction as to correct belief and behavior. So we're teaching them the truth of the words. We need to nurture them in the instruction of the Lord. So we teach and model the truth. And be honest with your children. You model it imperfectly. Okay? Are you striving to be like Jesus? But when you fail, confess it to Him and tell Him that's why Jesus came. Because He is the only one that's perfect. Dad, Mom blew it here. Forgive us. Christ has forgiven me. You've forgiven me. We'll move forward. So model for them gospel humility as you're raising them up. Seek to be a model and teach them and train them up in the Word. Be clear about your imperfection. Teach them to love and worship God through Jesus first. Instruct them to love and worship God through Jesus first. That's the job. So parents, teach and model a life of worship. Joyful devotion. You know, your faith in Jesus should produce great joy in your heart, which should motivate you to want to live for Jesus because you've been forgiven of all of your sin, clothed in His righteousness. Now to live as Christ and to die as gain. Right? So teach and model a life of worship. Parents, please teach your children to reverence God. To glorify God. To worship God in the dailies and especially on the Lord's Day. Teach them the specialness of this day. If you don't believe it yourself, then we can help you with that and help you read up on the Lord's Day and how God works especially when His people are gathered for worship. But overarchingly, teach your children to reverence God. You reverencing God and teaching them to reverence God. You know, if you're going to raise them up to worship God, they need to see you worshiping God. Again, why do we have our kids in church with us? And we try to help you with that, with training room and mother's room and all of that. But we want to raise... Listen, church... This was my experience growing up in church. Church was, sit there and be quiet. And if I didn't sit there and be quiet, it was... Or, man, the pinches were worse than the slaps, too. But there was no instruction. It was just, church is a time when you sit down and shut up, and then you move on with your life. Well, we want you to be good in the service, kids, but it's far more than that. We want you to learn to reverence God and to worship God. To take 1 hour... I know you say hour, right? Hour and a half, okay. Devote that to God and focus on Him. It's okay if you're coloring or doing something like that. But strive to listen and strive to sing and strive to worship. It's not playtime. Parents, help me with this. It's not playtime. Overflow room, that's not a romper room. It's not. It gets a little rowdy in there sometimes. It's not a place where the parents go worship and let the children just do what they want to. Worship is not a playtime. We worry too much about our kids being bored. Please help them to grow up to know that some of life is boring. But if we trust Jesus and love His Word, it's not boring. They should not see you bored in worship. You need to be engaged, worshiping, setting the example, and bringing them along. And so the night before we come together for worship, go over one of the songs with them that we're going to sing. Go over the passage that we're going to look at. Help them come with expectation. Instead of, please don't let your children think church is a time when I'm going to get whacked if I make any noise. But train them that it's not a playtime as well. It's a time when we gather for worship of God. So again, we try to help with that. I have children's outlines in the back and adult outlines. If you want to bring a coloring book, if they're drawing. I saw a really great picture this morning. A kid drew while we were doing Sunday school. Awesome. And it was a gospel-centered picture. There were crosses and, you know, it was awesome. So that's okay. I know kids' attention span is not as large as ours. But please don't train your kids that it's church is playtime or it's boring. It's not playtime. I'm sorry, kids, if I'm ruining it for you. The overflow room is not a playroom. It's an overflow room and a training room. We call it a training room so that you can train your children to love, honor, reverence, and worship God. Help me with that. We want our children to know and love Jesus. To know they're forgiven of their sins. To know they're clothed in His righteousness. To know that they're children of God, not just children of you. And then to come on the Lord's Day to participate with everybody, young and old, to worship Jesus. That takes work. So you have to instruct them in that. Train them to worship. Train them to come with expectation. Talk about it ahead of time. Listen, it's hard, I know. And if your kids make a little noise, nobody worried about that. But don't let them be juggling balls and clacking toys together while, you know what I mean? So there's a balance there. We're not in it to just have them sit and be quiet. We want them to learn to worship. But we also want to respect the people around us who maybe don't. It's very different if you don't have kids in the home. Parents' tolerance for things, you won't even hear it. And somebody, especially that might struggle with ADD or something, sitting near you, and they're going like this. They can't hear a thing that's going on. So just be aware of those around you. Be aware while we're here. Pour into that to teach and train your kids to worship God. There's grace. There's going to be some failure, right? But be aiming at something. Be aiming to teach them to love the Lord and to trust Jesus and to reverence and live to worship Him and to do that especially when we're gathered. It's hard, but it is doable. Teach and train your children that life is about God's glory in Jesus Christ, and especially on the Lord's Day when we're gathered for worship. And everything flows out of that. Okay? First day of the week. Okay, so teach and train. Just like you are to be filled with the message of Christ, be filling your children with the message of Christ. And then discipline. Okay? And when we hear discipline, we always think the corrective side of it. Discipline your children. That's only half of it. Discipline is nurture and instruction and encouragement as well as correction. It's broader than we tend to think. But secondly, look what it says. I know I did it second, but it's first in the text. Nurture them or bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You're teaching them to obey you that they might learn to obey God. You're teaching them to obey you that they might respect authority. And that's more than teaching and encouragement, it's also correction. So training and discipline is to train someone in accordance with proper rules of conduct and behavior. Train up with proper rules of conduct and behavior. We who have come up in a legalistic church and have gotten out of that are so afraid to talk about conduct and behavior. But God talks about it a lot. But He would have it flow out of a restored relationship. But even before they're Christians, they don't even understand the gospel when they're really tiny. Teach them to obey you. Love them. Nurture them. Teach them to obey you. You're training them to obey God and you're training them to respect authority. Because when they get outside of your house, they better have been trained to respect authority. It's a lot of the chaos we see going on in the world. By the way, never mind. Train them in accordance with proper rules of conduct and behavior. There's two aspects, correction and punishment. Notice the bad and correct it. Parents, we spend too much time trying to be our kids' friends. They have plenty of friends. Now hopefully they grow up and love you and because you've done the other side as well. But they need to be corrected consistently, not inconsistently. So half of discipline is punishment. It's not a bad word. Correction, punishment. You notice the bad and correct it. And then second aspect of discipline is encouragement. You notice the good and reward it. Now sometimes the reward is, that was excellent. Thank you. I love you. You did a great job with that. Even if it's not perfect, parents. They won't clean their room like you do. But you see the work, you see the effort. You encourage and reward that and train them. Teach them how. And then correct the bad. If they say clean your room, kids, and you say okay, and you don't go clean your room, expect correction. Give it to them. They need it. Playing is not more important than obeying. We need to get that straight. Consistent loving discipline. Don't be their friend first. Yes, you don't want them to hate you, but you don't want them to play that against you either. You don't love me. Well, you'll figure out that I do. Now go do what I said. I don't like you. I don't care. I really do. You really do. You're just trying to get out. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's an episode of Andy Griffith. You know me, you know I love that show. Where Opie's trained by one of his friends to pitch a temper tantrum, right? And he'll get what he wants. So that was working for the other kid. And Opie comes into the courthouse and pitches this big brawling temper tantrum for a raise in his inheritance. Andy doesn't pay any attention. And then Andy finally looks up and says, "What are you doing?" "I'm pitching a temper fit." He said, "Oh, okay." He just kept on. He was paying a lick of attention. You're not getting any more allowance. Don't let them control you. Oh, they will. Let's look at a few verses. Make sure I'm not making this up. Look at Proverbs 13:24. Please receive this, okay? Proverbs 13:24. Listen to it. Whoever spares the rod... Listen to this. This is not what you're getting from the culture. Whoever spares the rod hates his son. But he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Notice diligence, consistency, discipline according to the word, correction, rod of correction. Exciting, right, kids? If you will not correct your kid, you do not love them. I didn't say that. Don't get mad at me. Proverbs 23:13-14. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. He will act like he's dying. To control you and keep you from doing it again. I know somebody that got away with that. In understanding, it was a single parent situation when the mother finally spanked the child and the child acted like it was so devastating the mother never did that again. I don't know who that was. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from hell. Sheol. Now that's not to injure. It should be painful, but not injure. And a rod of correction is not always a spanking. But listen to me. Sometimes it is. Well, my child don't respond to that. What you mean is it didn't work. And you know what? It's not supposed to work. They do bad, you spank them, they never do bad again. It's supposed to attach pain with disobedience. Punishment, suffering, consequences with disobedience. Believe me, a little spanking is a whole lot easier to take than a prison term. Or hell. Train your kids to respect authority. If you spare the rod, you hate your child. If you strike him, they won't die. And it's working good. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Look at this. But a child left to him or herself brings shame to his mother or his father. Don't look pragmatically at corrective discipline. You follow God. You trust Him with what He's doing. And if you're consistent in that, it produces wisdom. What? They start to put the connection together. Disobedience brings things I don't want. Disobedience is a bad decision because of how it pays off. And obedience is a good decision because of how it pays off. You know how you learn to make good decisions? You make bad ones and pay the price. Right? Proverbs 31, 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. And that's broadly. This is quoted in Hebrews 12 for all of us. Do not despise discipline, kids. And do not despise your parents' discipline. But especially above that, let us not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves as a father the son in whom He delights. Spanking sometimes is necessary in love, not beating in anger. If you are mad, don't do it. Wait a little while. Have a discussion and say, this is why Daddy must discipline you under God. And do it, whatever your correction is, it should be uncomfortable but not injurious. Not abuse. Okay? And sometimes they will respond better to the rod of discipline being taking that favorite toy and throwing it in the trash and never taking it out. Because my mom would do the first part, but about 20 minutes later, she would take it back out. It didn't last most of the time because I could control her. Discipline, not wrath, parents. Be careful. Parents, listen to me, please. I have experience in this. Do not spoil your kids. Do not give them everything for nothing. Do not let them get away with everything. Do not worry if they have crocodile tears. Don't let their cute faces control you. Eyes on God, loving discipline of your children, trusting Him to bring the wisdom and growth out of it. If you spoil your kids, you're not loving them. The cute faces and crocodile tears are meant to control you. If they were bad and you discipline them, they cry, it's okay. They'll get over it. And if you're consistent, they'll do better next time. Are you telling my parents to spank my hiney? Yes, when you need it. And other ways. You know, another thing for me growing up was restriction. It lasted about 20 minutes. You're not going anywhere for a week. I could just go sit down. I knew that wasn't going to last. Be consistent. Don't spoil your kids. Loving, consistent discipline. Raise them according to God's Word. Love, worship, and live for Jesus. Parents, I know this is hard. Kids, I know this is hard. But it glorifies God. It's according to His Word. It's for your good. To point you to Jesus, that we might all love, honor, seek to glorify, live, trust in Jesus. There's a gospel for your failure. You might have not heard anything I said in here today. Christ died to pay the penalty for your sins. And if you will turn from trusting in anything else, your church, your participation, your works, and if you will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him alone, He will save you. Amen. Salvation is a free gift. You don't have to earn it. You receive it by faith, by grace. There's forgiveness for parenting failure. There's forgiveness for kids' failure. Make sure that the discipline ordinarily ends in grace, in restoration. Don't forego the pain to get there. Right? But then explain God's grace. And lead. Even correction discipline should lead to the gospel. To raise our kids to be like Jesus. Don't give up and don't give in even though it's hard. Rest in grace and seek to live for God's glory. And raise your children to do the same. All of the wrath due your sin is poured on Jesus. Discipline your kids the way God disciplines us. And kids, love and submit to your parents. God has commanded them to raise you in accordance with your Word. And parents, press into raising your children with corrective and instructive discipline that has a gospel priority. Trust Jesus and train your kids to love and live for Jesus. And kids, trust Jesus and live for Jesus. And right now in your life, your job is to obey your parents. Do it with joy. Because of His grace to you. Let's pray. Father, help us all, whatever status in life we're in, to rejoice in Your love and in Your discipline of us. That You discipline us when we go against Your commandments. That You bless us when we work with what you're working in us and seek to live according to your commandments. All because we're trusting Jesus. But you instruct us and you correct us. You love us and serve us and discipline us and help us to rejoice in that because it shows that we're your children. Help us to be faithful to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And help our children to submit to their parents and obey their parents and to grow up to trust Jesus and to love and live and worship Him. Lord, help us. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. And this is your work. You must do it. So we trust you for it. Thank you for your grace. And thank you for the homes that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.